Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of our This or That podcast with me, Rob.
Dahlia.
Hi, Dahlia. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good as well. I always think when people say they're okay, they're actually not that good. I mean, is that the case for you or not?
I'm wonderful. My life is amazing.
That's brilliant. Okay, awesome. Could you tell us a bit about your amazing, wonderful life at the moment? What's going on?
Well, anybody who knows me, I've said many times, I don't have a very exciting life. I'm all about the small pleasures. I have been going to the gym more recently, which is a really boring answer, but I've been getting into doing weights, which I really enjoy.
I think there'll be a lot of our students who would think like, oh, I would love to go to the gym more often. I would love to have the opportunity or the energy or the time. So I don't think that's a small thing.
That's true. Yeah, I do really value it. As I said in the last podcast, a lot of busy adults, especially people with children, would love to have that time. I remember when I said to my sister, actually, when I was training for the half marathon, I said, oh, I just came back from a run. I'm really tired. She said, I would love to spend 2 hours running, she says, because she's got a child. So I don't take it for granted. I do appreciate having that time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so you do lots of different kinds of exercise. How do you find doing weightlifting compared to running, for example?
Oh, they're very different things. Like one lifting, I say lifting weights, these are 5 kilogram dumbbells. That's what I can handle at the moment. Uh-huh. But it's very like focused. You know, you've got this thing and you're very focused on it and you're trying very hard to lift it. And, you know, your form, the way you hold your body, has to be correct. But running is totally the opposite. You're just kind of free. But you have to be focused in a different way because you have to focus on, again, holding your body in the correct way. So one feels kind of almost reckless, I'd say, with running, and weights feels more kind of focused. I think I've said that 17 times.
Well, it's a good balance between two things, and that's exactly what we're here to talk about today. So we have our this and we have our that. And today our this is being a perfectionist who prepares early for things, and our that is being the last minute procrastinator. So as always, Dahlia, if you have to choose one, which would you go with?
Well, as always, I can't choose one for various reasons, because I do think they go hand in hand. But I'm going to choose perfectionist, which is a controversial choice, I feel, because the word perfectionist is not usually a positive one. But as we know, perfectionism is not a good thing. But I think if you learn that you are a perfectionist and you learn the reasons why, anyone who knows me, I'm a perfectionist as well. If you harness it and use its powers for good, as they say, I think it can actually be a really useful thing. Like if you're just focused on perfectionism, then obviously that's not a good thing because you're not focusing on the real goals of your project or whatever. You're just responding to neuroses, as we've said many times.
Uh-huh.
But there are times when perfectionism can be useful. For example, the last stages of a project. When you do have to perfect things, you do need real attention to detail, checking spelling errors, checking all those last minute things. So I think you can harness it and use it for good.
I would agree with you. I think in a way it's actually very, very difficult to answer this. Because there's a thing that, let's say, responding to neuroses, as you said, it's generally not a good thing. Mm-hmm. But in another way, it's probably a major reason for many of the good things that we happen to have in the world, is because people were responding to neuroses and that pushed them further than the average person to invent new things, to not be satisfied with the way that things are, which is bad, but also good. So I think it's a bit tricky. If I were to pick which is actually closer to my behavior for most things, I would say probably more on the perfectionist side. But I think we've mentioned before, some of my students are interested in what we call MBTI. And my MBTI is INFJ, which is a strange mix of these things. The J is like kind of judgment. It's planning things very carefully. So I will do a lot of planning, but I also have the F, which is at a certain stage, after all my planning, I'll just go with the one that I like the feeling of. So in a way, I'm also both.
Yeah, I'm like that. I love planning, but I'm also quite intuitive and make a lot of my decisions based on my intuition.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're the wrong people to ask, I think.
But you can make a case for procrastination because, of course, procrastination is also not a good thing. But there are many people who say that they work better under pressure when the deadline is looming. You know, everybody had that friend at school who somehow, even though everybody had started their essays weeks before, they started it like 3 days before and they wrote an amazing essay because they just needed that pressure to really knuckle down and get it done. And I can't say I'm like that because, deadlines stress me out. But there have been times when, you know, in adult life, when you life is full of deadlines, we all know that sometimes having a deadline is the way to get stuff done because we have so many things, you know, demanding our attention. But I think you said an interesting word, which I think is really important, which is intention. I do think that a lot of perfectionism happens because we don't know what our actual intention is. So we just try to make things perfect. And interestingly, if you ask a person who is trying to make something perfect what perfection looks like to them, they actually don't know. So that's why you just keep going and you keep going and keep going because you just feel it isn't right. So when I realized that, I was like, okay, I need to actually realize what my goal is here. What is my intention? And then it makes it easier to perfect it because you know what perfection looks like to you. Does that make any sense?
It definitely does. I mean, if I go back to something you were discussing before as well about procrastination, generally speaking, procrastination is a negative thing, and that's how we see it. But I suppose there could also be a thing where sometimes maybe you are procrastinating because you are really, really exhausted, and your body is just telling you that you would prefer to have a break right now, and that,
It's true.
maybe this is a very Western point of view that, like, oh yes, taking as many breaks as possible is definitely the right thing to do. Don't push yourself too hard. There's a good side to pushing yourself hard as well. But, I think with all of these things, there can be too much and there can be too little. And knowing what the right amount is, it changes from hour to hour. It's really difficult.
It's true. And I think that that's why it's important to kind of, well, cultivate a good relationship with yourself and understand yourself. Because I realize that I also use procrastination as well sometimes in a good way. Like, because I have the tendency to overplan and think about things too much before I do them and be a perfectionist. Sometimes I actually purposefully leave things until the last minute so that I don't spend too much time doing it. And it kind of
That's
works.
very smart. I don't remember the name for it. There is actually an official name for it's kind of like a law or a rule. You might know it. It's the idea that the you will take as long doing a task as you set a deadline for. So basically, if you give yourself 3 hours, you will
Oh,
manage to complete it in 3 hours. If you give yourself 3 weeks, then it's going to take 3 weeks.
exactly. It's the there's a yes, there's a theory. It's about the suitcase. So if you take a bigger suitcase, you'll fill it. Like my mum had this fridge and she's always getting stressed because it was full of stuff. And she said, I need to get a bigger fridge. And she did, and it was great, and it was so much less stressful. And what did she do? She put a much bigger pot than she normally would have done in there. I didn't say anything, because you know, I didn't say anything.
You're saying something now.
And then she got really stressed because the fridge got filled up again. And I said, well, it's because you put something bigger than normal because you've just filled the space. And I didn't say I told you so, but I'm bragging about it now. So it's just as bad, right?
I hope your mum listens to this podcast. She's going to be absolutely furious. But yeah, but no, I think this is genuinely true. I guess it also, to make it even more complicated, I guess it depends how you respond to pressure. But as you say, there are some people who pressure is they perform better when they've got a bit of pressure. But there are also some people who fall apart if they have pressure. So you've also got the question of how much pressure at the right time for the right kind of person.
True. Yeah. Well, I mean, every man and his dog now has a made a video right on YouTube about the fact that procrastination is not about laziness. It's about how you, it's an emotional thing, basically. It's about the inability to handle your emotions and Yeah, I mean, I do procrastinate, and it's taken me many, many years to I wouldn't say overcome it because I still do it. But for me, little things help, like breaking things down into bite-sized chunks, like taking a huge task and turning it into lots of teeny tiny tasks, and that makes it much more manageable, less overwhelming, less daunting, and I actually end up doing things right here, right now, instead of thinking I need to sort that thing out later.
This is something that I don't quite understand. I know that doing that definitely works, but I've also heard people recommending doing the exact opposite to achieve the same result.
Really? Like what?
So if I give you an example, let's say going to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
If in your head you list that task as going to the gym and that's all, you don't list the micro steps, then you might be more likely to do it.
Mm.
So an example from someone who's like a kind of...
Because it's fewer things.
A personal development coach gave an example. They had a client and said, oh, why don't you like going to the gym? And the client said something like, well, because to go to the gym, I've got to go and get my gym clothes, and then I've got to put them in the bag, and then I've got to load that into the car, and then I've got to drive to the gym, and then I've got to find parking, and then I've got to go in. And she listed every step. And he said, okay, fine, we're finished with our work today. Do you want to go get something to eat? And she was like, yeah, sure, let's go to dinner. And for her, going to dinner was just like one easy, fun thing to do.
Interesting.
But that requires a similar amount of effort to going to the gym.
True.
So in a weird way...
The only thing is the reward is better.
Well, that's debatable. Like, that could be another this or that. You know, hamburgers or...
Go to the gym or go to push-ups.
I know which I'd choose, but yeah. I don't... No.
That is interesting, though.
Yeah, I've heard, like, two things. And maybe the answer is more... Not that one's right and one's wrong, but maybe one works better for some people and one works better for others. I don't know.
It does actually make a lot of sense because I do, like, I have managed to run continuously for a year, a few times a week. Who knows if I'll still be doing it in a year, hopefully. I don't want to talk as if I'm an expert. But sometimes maybe I just realise that that is kind of what I do unconsciously. Like without realizing it, because sometimes the best way is to just try and not think about it, which is surprisingly hard. And to just think, okay, I'm doing that thing later. I'm just not going to try and think about it now and think about all the laborious steps to get there. And if you just trust yourself that you're going to do it, obviously that's much, much, much harder said than done. Easier said than done. Maybe that is really good advice, actually.
Yes, there's also the thing that if you're new to something as well, you'll have to work out a lot of stuff.
Mm.
You won't know. You'll have probably 1,000 tiny questions that you need to get the answers to.
Mm.
Maybe the first time you went running, there was lots of things you didn't know and you needed to work them out. But when you go running now, you have the experience. You already know the answers to all those questions. You don't need to think about it. I just go running. I just do the thing that I've been doing for the past year.
That's what I meant about cultivating a good relationship with yourself and, you know, knowing what you are like and what triggers you and what pushes you and what motivates you and what kind of thoughts pop into your head. All those things, I think, help you, yeah, either overcome perfectionism or procrastination. As if we are the experts, what do we know? What do we know?
Well, I think we've done a really good job today. We've been given a simple choice of one or two and making the answer incredibly complicated.
Making the answer both.
Yes, both, as the true answer always is. So I encourage all of our listeners, please tell us in the comments, which would you pick and why? And we can all politely argue with each other and that will make the world a better place.
Politely argue, that's a good word, a euphemism for debate, right?
It sure is, yeah. So, I hope all our listeners are well. It's great to see you and talk to you as always, Dahlia.
Take care.
Yeah.
See you next time.
Okay. Goodbye, everyone. See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.